we're just kind of right here in this moment, I just want to just go ahead. You can have a seat. I just want to take a minute and just, as a church, I want to just recognize the day that it is. I mean, this is the day, the Sanctity of Life Sunday that they set aside. We don't always do it on the day. But as a church, I always like to draw our attention to it. Maybe those of you who are joining us online, I think it's important for us to declare truth about who we are. I think it's important for us to declare life because it's a gift. I recognize that in the world that we live in and some choices that maybe some of us have made over the years, when we start talking about sanctity of life, we know that that means the opposite, which is the taking of life or abortion. And that's hard because some of us have been affected by it. Some of us maybe directly or indirectly. And what I want to say this morning is that even though as a church we declare life is a gift from God, we also know that if you have been impacted in some way through abortion, there's grace and mercy at the foot of the cross. And there is no condemnation nor shame. It's hard in the world that we live in with social media and all kinds of positions, and everybody likes to take their positions, right? Like to have the territory. And sometimes it's hard to find a way through that that makes sense. But I just want to say to you this morning, I am grateful for life. I'm not sure that I wasn't one that maybe it was thought about in the womb. I've shared that with some of you before. A lot of rejection I felt throughout life. I know that my mom struggled in that pregnancy. I don't know whether she ever thought about it or not. At some point, I wonder. But I do know that there are many. When moms are in a difficult position, they just don't know what to do. So I'm grateful for the organizations that we support, Bravely, others, that stand in the gap and provide support and help. Again, no shame, no condemnation. But you want some answers? We'll help you. You want to explore this a little further? We'll help you. And man, I'm so grateful that some of us in this room have entered into that faith step. And it is a faith step. It is getting out of the boat and walking on water to foster or adopt. I mean, we're directly impacted by that. And I'm grateful that we have children in our fold that have been grafted in. The amazing thing is they are more like us than anything else I've ever seen. That's truly a godsend and a God gift. So this morning, I just want us to pause, and I just want to thank God for life. Amen? But also pray for those who have been impacted by the tragedy of loss, whether intentionally or not. Again, there's grace at the foot of the cross. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. It's a day that's set aside across the nation to just declare the wholeness and the holiness and the sacredness of life. You knew every one of us before we ever entered our mother's womb. You knew what we would look like. You knew every freckle. You knew every hair or lack thereof. You knew it all. You had a DNA print on us from the very beginning, with a calling and a purpose and a direction and an appointment. So we thank you, God, for the gift of life. And we thank you that many of us have walked out that gift for your glory, advancing the kingdom, becoming more and more like your son, Jesus. But we also know that there's a lot of babies and children in heaven who never got the chance to live life this side. We pray, God, for the grace for everyone who was concerned in that act and that choice. We know that there's grace and mercy at the foot of the cross. And God, we cast no shame, no guilt, no condemnation towards those who have made choices or been impacted by choices. We just simply say, there is room at the cross for everyone. And we, all sinners, have found that grace and mercy too. So we thank you for the forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, through his blood that was shed, that we can be free and whole. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to ask Abby to come. There's a passage in Ephesians 5. You're familiar with it. Everybody's got a song. Everybody's got a hymn. Everybody's got a word kind of thing. That doesn't necessarily mean that every Sunday that we open up, everyone says something or does something. But I was just telling Abby this morning, I just love her. She has just flourished. And so when she got, I think, Ron, you were the first one to tag her for the worship team back a long time ago. And sometimes people get overlooking in the mix and the process. And, you know, Ron picked you out and said, hey, Abby, join us for worship. And you were just this little timid thing. And he gave you the tambourine. That was always a thing that we always loved, the tambourine thing. And if you ever see Abby up here with the tambourine, it means that she doesn't really know what she's doing. But it looks cool, right? It's part of the worship thing. Anyway, so we're just trying to get her to relax and enjoy. You don't have to hold that. And she did. And man, she has just grown and just matured and just become a flower up here. And just thankful for God for what he's done in your life. So she shared with me the other day something she'd been reading. And I said, oh, Abby, I've read that book before. That's really good. So I said, why don't you share that this morning? So here you go.
Yeah, I've been reading this book called Secrets of the Secret Place by Bob Sorge. Yeah, we don't know how to say it. But it's a really good book, and there was a chapter about what our, like, lives are supposed to look like with, like, an intimate relationship with the Lord, and then not just going to church to, like, fill that, but, and then he gave some examples of what church is supposed to be. And so I read this, and I was like, that's my church. Yeah. So I'll just start it. It says, church can be a place where God is glorified and ministered to, where a statement is made in the community, where dark principalities are resisted, where we can encourage and support one another, where a godly vision is articulated to the collective body, where unity is built, where corporate prayer extends to God, where the young and the weak are strengthened, where seekers come to Christ. And I was watching the service last Sunday online and just watching, like, baptisms, and I was, like, fired up, and I was commenting in all caps, like, on the live. I'm like, yes, let's go. So I just thought, yeah, it was super cool and super fitting.
That's good. Thank you, Abby. And I just have to tell you, sometimes those kind of little things are just super encouraging to me as a pastor. And just, yeah, well, people are paying attention. That's pretty cool. That's awesome. And the baptisms were amazing last week. I was just like, wow, that was so cool. All right, so we're going to just jump into some things here pretty quickly. I want to start by just doing a little bit of a kind of a wrap around and review, because we've had a lot going over the last several weeks, and with the end of the year and all that kind of stuff moving into this year. And then we had the baptisms last week. Week before, we had a communion and a blessing service. So I just want to start this morning. You remember back when we first started talking about the kingdom of God, and I brought the ladder out, and we set the ladder up, and we kept talking about the ladder. I want that ladder illustration up on the board this morning for us to look at one more time. Everything in our lives begins with an idea. Right now, how you're living your life and your relationship with God started with an idea that you had about God when you were young. It was either greatly influenced by your parents or culture or whatever, or things that you read. But your idea of God was just that. It was an idea of God. And it doesn't grow into an understanding and a deep conviction and a belief and a system of life until you have tested it, until you have run it through the ringer, if you will, of the Word of God and the truth of God and the Spirit of God. And so many people are really kind of stuck in their relationship with God because their idea of God is still very young and immature. It's not a biblical, grounded principle of who God is. And so sometimes people say, well, I don't even know how to get to God and how to know God. Well, God's got multiple names and multiple character traits, and one of the ways to get to know God is to study those out and then see him flesh those out through you. One of the reasons that the song we chose this morning, I Trust in God, one of the reasons for many of you that that's a powerful song, and for me as well, is because we have sought the Lord, and he's heard, and he's answered. That's why we can trust him. See, that's what happens, is that idea, because many of you have an idea about trust that's very broken. It's been shattered. Because you grew up in a home that was broken. You grew up with parents that were divorced. You grew up in a whatever. And so your idea of trust is like real fragile, real broken, real yucky. And so when we sing a song like that, you're like, I don't know if I can trust that guy because I don't even know if he's trustworthy, right? Well, how do you change that? Well, you have to work through a process, and you have to begin to test him and let him test you in the process of trust. And trust is really hard because, again, trust requires that you open up your heart, right? And trust takes us into close, intimate places. And that's real hard, especially if your trust has been shattered, broken, or it's an idea that's, hey, forget this, I don't ever want to trust again. So that's very important. Just keep that with you. Keep thinking about that because, again, everything in our lives starts with an idea. And how you are currently living your life is based on that progression. Are your ideas, are they still in a very immature state? So then we talked about the kingdom. We talked about seeing the kingdom and all that. And I want to just kind of rehearse this a little bit because it's real important where we want to go this morning. Jesus hit the scene about the kingdom when he said, repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I got to thinking about that. Jesus came out of the wilderness, and the first thing that he did is he preached this message, repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now just imagine here in Lafayette that we would start a new church, and billboards all over the city would say, repent of your sins, turn to God, the kingdom of heaven is here. Facebook ads, all that kind of stuff. They would think we were Looney Tunes. But yet that's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Change the way you think. Repent. Turn to God. Don't turn to your friends. Don't turn to your parents. Don't turn. Change the way you think. How will you ever be able to actualize and understand what the kingdom of God is about? Again, some of us have a very abstract idea of what the kingdom is about. Hopefully we're kind of growing that, maturing that, and developing that so you can really get a handle on what that really means. Change the way you think. Turn to God, no one else. Some of us turn to our friends and turn to things that are worldly. And again, some of us get more input from social media than we do from the Word of God. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's that mean? That means that it's here. That means as Jesus was preaching, he was saying the kingdom of God is here. He's saying basically I'm the embodiment of the kingdom of God. So let's just walk through that a little bit. He was trying to break the status quo of religion. He was trying to come in and say everything that you've been doing in your life, all the laws that you've been keeping, that's fine, but I came to fulfill that and bring a relationship to that so that you can see that the kingdom is about you and me and us. We are the kingdom. Let's just talk about that real quick. The kingdom is here. What's that mean? That means the Spirit of God is right here. That means Jesus is right here. That means that it's love, joy, peace, patience, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all those things, that's the kingdom. It's the one another's that we talked about a couple weeks ago, the 59 one another's, it's praying for one another, it's encouraging one, it's all these things that we talk about all the time. It's faith and power to move mountains. It's giving up this life for the next life. It's living out your calling and purpose in life. It's all those things, but here's the thing that's most important. It's got to be done more than just on Sunday morning. Because people, the reason they can't recognize what the kingdom of God is all about, because they never see it walked out and demonstrated any other place. I think we get really good at doing the kingdom kind of activity on a Sunday. I think we get really good about engaging with the Holy Spirit and Jesus and responding and obeying and doing things. And I think that's really awesome. And I think in a corporate setting where it feels really safe, we kind of connect with that whole idea of the kingdom of God. Jesus has fully revealed self is right here. But what about Monday through Saturday? Right? Because it doesn't impress anybody that we do that here on Sunday. What impresses them is if all of that stuff is happening Monday through Saturday. That you're walking in a faith and a power and authority to move mountains. That you have a love that is so rich and so accepting and so full and so godlike. And you have a joy that is so sustained in the midst of adversity and difficulty. And you have a faith and you have a gentleness and a kindness. And all those things are just being exhibited every day of your life. And they go, whoa. I see what you're saying. Then we've moved into this idea of not just seeing the kingdom and what it's about, but seeking the kingdom. Words I gave you several months ago about seek is pursue. It's this idea that you'll search it out at any cost. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added. We take that verse and we reverse it. We try to add the things to our lives. We try to fix things and do things, and then we seek God. Have you ever done that before? You ever really launched into a project or something or a decision, and you made the decision, and you say, Lord, would you bless this? That ain't seeking the kingdom first. I'm just here to tell you. It's not. But we do it all the time. Understanding in our own earthly wisdom, in our own sense of, we know what we're doing, so we go do, and we make decisions, and we make choices, and then all of a sudden we're on our knees begging God, oh Lord, please help, because I messed it up. That's not seeking the kingdom first. Seeking the kingdom is all about priorities. What do you value, and what's first in your life? We were in chapter 12 and chapter 13 of Genesis talking about Abraham. We're going to insert Lot a little bit this morning. But I'm not going to read the whole thing again. I'm just going to kind of summarize this. And so you can have it up on the wall behind me, Fred, but you're just going to have to catch me as I go. Basically, the call of Abraham in chapter 12 is this. The Lord spoke to Abraham and said, leave and go somewhere. I'll show you later. All right. So the Lord is speaking today. All right? So he says, Pam, leave. Go. I'll tell you later what's happening. Kimbra, leave. Go. I'll tell you later. Most of us going, yeah, right. Just take off. Get in the car and drive. I'll give you the instructions later. Which way do we go? Just drive. Isn't that fun? So he says this to Abraham. No, it's not fun, by the way. He says it because we all have to have it figured out before we even get in the car. And GPS has to be wired up. Got to have it all set up there, right? I mean, I don't even trust Siri sometimes because I'm like, you sure you know what you're talking about? What do you mean turn right up here? I was going across to the west side the other day, and I was driving through town and said, turn right on Fannin Drive. I had never heard of Fannin Drive in Lafayette. Oh, that's that one that loops around and gets on 231. Oh, now I know where I'm at. But I was about to change her because I didn't think she was right. Leave and go, and I'll show you later. That was the call of God on Abraham's life. So he does in chapter 13. He left Egypt, and he goes. Now, Abraham was really rich. He was very prosperous. He had been a good businessman, so he knew how to make money with his animals and all this stuff. And all throughout chapter 13, what you see is that Abraham stopped and worshiped the Lord on so many junctures because he recognized that the Lord had been the one who had blessed him. That's that gratitude thing this morning. That's about having a praise and a worship and a gratitude attitude, regardless if everything's working well in your life. So Abraham had this heart of worship. And he stopped and he worshiped. He became very wealthy. And then Lot is the tag-along nephew that also became wealthy as a result of hanging around Abraham. So then they grew, they prospered, lot of animals. And then fights started breaking out among the herdsmen because the land was not big enough to contain everybody. So that's when Abraham says to Lot, he says, hey, let's don't do this. Let's don't fight. He said, you decide where you want to go. And then I'll take the other. So he made this incredible decision of preferring his nephew. He had every right not to do that. He was the older, the richer. He was the one who got the call. Yet he stood to his nephew and said, "You choose. I'll take whatever's left over." So then the Lord spoke to Abraham and says, "Look, Lot did this. Let me show you. You look out. Everything that you can see is going to be yours." We've been talking about this a lot, about the calling and the purpose in our lives in light of the kingdom. And one of the things that I think is so important, we said this a couple weeks ago, it's important to rehearse and remember, God has blessed you to be a blessing because that's exactly what he spoke to Abraham in the call. I have blessed you and you will be a blessing to others. God did not call us to come to church on a Sunday morning, week after week after week after week after week after week after week, to just sit and soak and consume and not pour it out on somebody else. I think sometimes we fail miserably, even on a Sunday morning, to give away some of what God poured into us in the morning time. Huh? What? Yeah, it's true. I think God shows up. I think the kingdom of God is in our midst. I think the presence of God is in our midst, and there's joy, there's peace, and there's encouragement. There's a lot of one another's going on in our hearts and just all this kind of stuff. Maybe I should pray for this person. Maybe I should encourage this person. Maybe I should go talk to this person. And then somehow we get caught up in the distractions of life or whatever, even on a Sunday morning, and we miss the opportunity to go and pour out what God has poured into us. You were saved. I was saved. We are saved. We're a church here in Lafayette, Indiana, to be a blessing to others. Not just consume it and hoard it and keep it. So Abraham got that. He really did. That's why he made the choice that he did. Now, let's talk a little bit about Lot. Lot. Would you like to have the name Lot? No. I think it's a weird name, honestly. Lot. Verse 10. This one I'd like to have up on the wall. Do we have it? Lot took a long look. Now, this is at the point where the herdsmen have been battling because the land's not big enough. Abraham sees what's going on. Discernment. He's been worshiping with the Lord. The Lord's been speaking to him. Hey, we're not going to fight about this. Lot, you go ahead and choose. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't know if you can get how hard a decision this must be. This is a dude that's got it together. He's a businessman. He's made a lot of money. He's fully self-sufficient. He's the older, wiser, richer, and Lot's just a tag along. He's just a little stinky nephew. You guys have stinky nephews? Stinky grandkids? You know, you get the idea. Pappy, I want to go with you. No, I don't want you to go with me. I do, but I'm just teasing. So anyway, you get the idea. So it's like, okay, well, I guess we can. Lot tags along. And Lot took a long look. Say that with me. A long look. Say it again. A long look. One more time. A long look. And he took a long look at this land. And what this land looked like was his understanding of what the Garden of Eden must have looked like. It was very fertile, very watered. It was like luscious. And so Lot's looking, he's going, It's kind of like walking into Cold Stone and seeing the ice cream flavors. Because there are flavors of the day, but you can't beat chocolate and peanut butter, man. You just look back over to the peanut butter cup perfection, and you just dive into it because it's rich and fertile and well-watered. So he's looking back and forth. There had to be a little bit of a smugness in Lot. I don't know for sure. It's not in Scripture. It just kind of feels like it. Yeah, I made a really good decision. Abraham's decisions that he had made up to this point had already led to blessing and more prosperity. But can I tell you here right now that that one decision, now Lot knew God. Lot had worshiped God. But Lot did not have the intimacy and trust with Jehovah like Abraham did. And so Abraham fully trusted Jehovah because he had seen him provide. I sought the Lord, and he heard and he answered. And so as a result of Abraham's decisions and choices and priorities of seeking God's kingdom first and not his own, he was blessed even more. Because the word says that he even got more cattle and more stuff. That one decision, as Lot prioritized not the kingdom of God, he didn't seek the kingdom of God. He wasn't seeking the consultation of God. Peanut butter cup perfection. That self-interest decision almost cost him his family and his life. You see, a couple weeks ago, I talked about this end of the year that you know, one of the things that we need to do regularly is do a heart realignment. Like our vehicles that get out of line, they'll veer to the ditch, and our hearts are constantly veering to the ditch of self-centeredness and self-interest. And just within a scratch of a moment, Lot, again, knew God, had worshiped God, but hadn't been in communion with God and hadn't been really connected with God as Abraham was. And he never really had been that intimate to trust him in situations because he just trusted himself. And, you know, the Bible says something about leaning not into your own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I don't know that I have a life verse, but that's probably close to it. Those verses are. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. All of your ways, acknowledge him. Let me give you a couple other translations because this really helps. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you what path to take. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything before you go. This is the Message Bible. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one that will keep you on track. You see the difference here? We got Abraham. That was his mojo, to fully trust God, to lean into what God said, to fully give it to him. I don't know what you're doing here, but I'll go. Anybody that is told, get up, leave, go, I'll tell you later where we're headed, that's amazing. That was his mojo. He didn't try to figure it all out. Listen, when we look at these biblical characters, I need to get you to understand this. These guys aren't perfect. Abraham did some really foolish things in his life. All you have to do is read through Genesis. He was like a dodo sometimes. But the bigger picture, the overall aspect of his life was very trusting of God. It wasn't that much later that he had his son Isaac, that he took him up the mountain to sacrifice, and he's about ready to take the knife to Isaac's throat. Because he knew God would provide. It's interesting that even shortly after this, Abraham had to end up rescuing Lot because of Lot's selfish decision. Now, what I'm doing with this and where I'm going with this is this point. Most of you may know this. Some of you may not. Do you realize that Abraham was the first recorded person in Scripture to tithe? To tithe. I said the word. I know it's a four-letter word. Tithe. 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 What does it mean to tithe? Give 10% back to the Lord. Now, there's a passage in Genesis 4 where Abel offered his choice lambs from the best of his flock. But we see in Scripture that as Lot has gotten into a mess in Sodom. Because here's what happened. Because he chose that land, I'm going to say basically, he kind of had this greedy heart towards this land. kind of almost maybe unethical pursuit of this land, he ended up moving really close to Sodom, which is where the pit of wickedness was. He moved right up. I mean, he moved right up to the edges, and he's right there hanging out with all the Sodomites. And it wasn't long that Lot gets captured by the kings of Sodom. Abraham finds out about it, and he runs in, mounts a rescue, which is pretty phenomenal in itself. I mean, he only had like 318 men, and he took these people out, and then he plundered everything, got all the spoil and the goods, and he increased his riches again because he's trusting God with everything. And this is when Abraham gives this 10% tithe. You can look it up. It's in Genesis chapter 14. But he gives this tithe to this man named Melchizedek. And many of you have maybe read over that and you've thought, what in the world? Who is Melchizedek and why would he do that? Because, again, because of the communion and the relationship that Abraham had had with God, his trustworthy Abba Father, Melchizedek had been the appointed instrument for the giving in that region. God had said, you're the appointed instrument, therefore all the giving and tithes will come through you. So Abraham recognizes that and does that and gives his 10%. Now here's the point, and I need you to get this. Abraham's first thought in every decision that he was making was based off of Matthew 6:33, even though he'd never heard of it at the time, but seeking first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. Seeking first what God says, seeking first God as a priority in my life, I'm going to place him first in all my decision making, and therefore when he gets to this place where he's rescuing Lot and he has all of this extra stuff that comes into his life, the first thing he does is give back to this God what God so richly deserved because God had given to him. He tithed to that instrument, that man named Melchizedek. Now in the New Testament, we have an appointed organization called the local church. And it's the same thing. Melchizedek was the kind of the storehouse of that season of that point in Old Testament history, and that's where the tithing and giving came in. The church is the local outlet for that. When you look through the book of Acts, you'll see that the church is serving, the church is giving, the church is reaching people for Christ, the church is preaching the gospel, the church is meeting the needs of the poor and the needy. And we as a local church, we have the same mission. That's why it's important that we recognize placing him first becomes an outlet for you to be blessed. Now, listen to me carefully. What we tend to do when we think of giving and tithing to the local church, first of all, it just becomes a nasty taste in so many people's mouth. And I'll be honest with you, that's probably because you've just never done it. Be honest with you. You've resisted it, or you fought it, or you thought it wasn't important, or maybe you just leaned into your own understanding and thought, well, this doesn't make sense on paper. It will never make sense on paper. Can I tell you that? I still to this day, as our tithe check goes out, it does not make sense on paper. Do you hear me? When we look at the system of this church and the things that we have done over the last 20 years plus, it does not make sense what we've been able to do with the weekly, monthly, yearly, annual giving. It doesn't add up. But what God does is he takes the gift and he blesses it. He takes your gift and he blesses it. It's no different than if you serve in the church. He takes the gift and he blesses it. It doesn't matter if you help put windows in a building on the wall of the church. He takes it and he blesses it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added. Sometimes people are running around hustling, always trying to figure out, how am I going to get this done? How's this going to happen? How are we going to make ends meet? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? How? That's all those things. Huh? That's all those things. What? Yes, it is. It's all those things, because we worry about all the things that God wants to take care of, but we don't do what we need to do first, which is why he doesn't take care of it. We're doing the things ourselves, and he has no reason to try to take care of it because we've already messed it up. And then, like Lot, we get on our face and we go, oh, God, rescue me. So right now, we are in this season. Next week and the week after, we're going to present to you 2024 budget. It's going to be a little bit chaotic, because we recognize that in our meetings and talking with Pastor Jared and just all the transitions and changes, probably in June, we'll have to revisit and reevaluate and make sure that everything that we think is going to happen will line up with everything we thought was going to happen. And so it's kind of a little bit like convoluted, but at the same time, we want to be faithful to you and show you, because, you know, one of the things you got to get, again, what we do as a board, and Gene and I and Pastor Jerry, we just oversee what you give to the church, the local church house, and we try to distribute it the way it's best fit, efficiently, according to God's word, and trying to be led by his spirit and all those kinds of things. And so the next couple of weeks, we're going to kind of lay that out. And it's important to get this part of it. I felt like this morning as I was driving in, I was like, Lord, I mean, this is kind of like preaching to the choir. We kind of have a good group of people here. And we've, you know, again, we teach on this annually. We talk about this annually. And sometimes it feels like, whoo, we're just saying the same thing over and over again. What I've come to realize is sometimes we just need to hear it over and over again. It's true. We just need to hear it again. We just need to hear it one more time. We need to be challenged one more time. We need to be drawn to the truth one more time. Because, again, too many of us lean into our own understanding, and we try to figure it all out, and then we come to God. That is the reverse of what he's asked us to do. Seek first me. Seek first me. Relationship with me. All these things that you worry about all the time, I'll begin to add them to your life. I'll begin to bring them into your life. You think you need this. You don't really need that. But I'll bring this into your life. See, because the thing that we always get hung up on is this idea of, you know, and if I told you this morning that in your obedience, if you trust God in this, he's going to bless you. The first thing that comes to your mind is, he's going to bless me, right? He's like Lot. He's going to bless me. I'm going to get the fertile land. We always think of blessing and prosperity in terms of material and physical and financial things, right? We always do. And sometimes that comes that way because we see it in Scripture. Abraham got blessed financially. But that's not everyone in every situation. And a lot of times he doesn't bless you financially is because you've already messed it up financially. Why would he give you more when you're messing up with what you have? Sorry, painful, I know, but it's true. Listen, there's no condemnation here. I remember the days when we were a mess financially. We're still not the greatest, but we were really a mess. And all the time, it's just like, oh, God, why do we? I'm telling you, when you stop all that and quit vomiting and whining about it and just seek him, he's going to show you what path to take. Amen? Really? It's true. But we always equate blessing and prosperity with more. That's the difference between Lot and Abraham. You had one that just, hey, get up, go. Go, I'll tell you. And one that was like, what's in it for me? I should have brought some Cold Stone in to make that so vivid for you. And just had chocolate everywhere. So you would just walk away going, I got that message this morning. I have a couple questions for you this morning. A couple statements before we close. What is or who is first in your life? I mean, sounds like it ought to be an easy question, right? Got to really sort through that. Because we can do a real religious, spiritual thing and say, well, God is first. And then the evidence of our lifestyle indicates totally opposite. Because I'm going to tell you where the biggest trust factor for everyone in this room is, and it is money. That's the biggest trust factor. You know, the reason I know that is because every couple that I do premarital with, finances become a source of irritation and friction. Because she's got hers, and he's got his, and neither the two shall cross. Doesn't sound very biblical to me, but let's walk through it. Well, I'm not sure I trust him with the way that he spends. Oh, I would love to record some of these conversations just playing for you. You're just like going, oh my gosh, that's so hilarious. Yeah. It's always a trust issue. Second question. Does God get the first and the best of all you receive? I've never, ever labored the issue of 10% tithing. And the reason I haven't is because a lot of people like to debate it. I just don't get into it. And I say, you seek the Lord, ask him what he wants you to do, and you obey. I think as long as you give, and you give sacrificially, and you give proportionally to what God has done and blessed in your life, that's fine. In the Old Testament, 10% tithing was the law. In the New Testament, we always hear it, it's grace, which just simply means there is a principle that is stated, and if Jesus talked about it, you probably should listen to it. But does God get the first and the best of all you receive? Or does he get leftovers? Or does he get crumbs? Or what does he get? Because again, trust and these kinds of things where money is concerned are very huge for us as human beings. You know, I sit and I look at retirement, and I'm sure I'm like every other person who's hit this stage in life and said, is there going to be enough for me to live on? Lisa says, no, there's not. So it irritates my soul just a little bit to think, okay, so, I mean, you know how it happens to every individual. None of us are exempt from that. There's not a one of us in this room like, I just give it and look the other way. Well, okay, yeah, but still, there's that sense of trusting. All right, so here we go. Tell you one more time. I've told you this before. It is not about the money. When we talk about this stuff, it always sounds like it's not about the money. It's not about the money. Here's why I say this. God can get anybody in the world to do what he wants. And if you don't give it, he'll get someone else. He'll get someone else. There are people I know, have known for years, friends of ours. They give sometimes. And then sometimes I'm like going, that is a gift. We so needed that. They don't go to this church. They don't even listen online. They're not even getting blessed by this. Right? Yet they send a check. Why? I mean, God just said, write a check. They did. So it's not about the money. It's not. I always go back to, you know, man, he can deal with a donkey. He can deal with any of us. It's not about the money. It's about your obedience and my obedience and recognizing that when we fully trust, when we seek him first in that relationship, then all these things are added. And sometimes it is a blessing in financial ways. But sometimes it's a blessing in ways that you can't even imagine. Because Abraham, out of his obedience and trust, eventually got that son that he'd been asking for. And money cannot buy sons and daughters. Amen? It was a gift that only God could give. All right, I think I'm done. What or who is first? Be careful to just flippantly say, well, God is. Probably ought to really work through that. And I hope he is. I believe he is for most of us, if not all of us in this room, even those online. I hope that's true. But we say it with words, but we don't live it in actions. And does God get the first and the best of all you receive? Once again, I remind you, stories about people like Abraham and Lot, they are examples in Scripture. And you know what examples are for? It's a model for you to follow. They're there for you to look at and say, oh, okay, I need to follow that. All right, let's stand. I know that Lindsay and Jean and several of them in the back and the children's church, that they were working hard to try to get sheets updated on the students. It's important that we have accurate information, allergies, all that kind of stuff, any different things that we need to know. So if she's been tracking you down, there's a reason for that. So please do that. And then over the next couple weeks, I'm just going to encourage us again over several ideas. Number one, you got prayer concerns, please bring those to us. We really want to engage with you and pray with you. We've had several this last week that have surfaced. And, Chuck was just telling me about his brother, Steve, whose son, Jeremy, just had a fire. They lost everything. We know them personally, so that's a real deal. We've experienced that in our family before. We know what that's like. And so things like that, and we just bring it to the Lord, and you have other people other than just you trying to carry that burden by yourself. That, plus also we want to also encourage you to update information. Sometimes if you're not getting any information from us from the church, it's probably because we don't have it. So if that's on you, please get us accurate information, emails, texting, that kind of stuff. All righty. All right, I think we're ready. Whew. Ethan, you want to come pray this morning? You're a rock star. All right, just say it out. Just pray what you want to pray.
God, I thank you for letting us be here today, and I thank you for Pastor Randy praying today and talking his word today, and I pray that will come through you and not just through him talking mm-hmm. today. Mm-hmm. And I pray that we can all get home safe and that we can have a good rest of our day. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.